Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
I think every time that I come to a circumstance in my life, if I choose to rejoice, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to miss God's blessing. But every time I complain and grumble, I miss the moment that God wants to move in my life. And I miss the blessing because I concentrate on these circumstances. And yet God all along is bringing me through so that I might do one thing and one thing alone. Look up and rejoice in His name.
Living on every word.
Living on every word. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're in our seventh part of who we are, what we have, and how we live. And we're going to begin in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We saw a couple of weeks ago that we're children of God and we have God as our Father. Verse 4 says, we are born again not only to a living hope, but we're born again to an inheritance. So we see that we are heirs to the things of God, and we have a great inheritance, according to verse 4. This inheritance is imperishable, it's undefiled, it will never fade away, and it's reserved for you and for me in heaven. He says that also that we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. In what do we rejoice in? We rejoice that we are children of God, that we do have God as our Father. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, in the very fact that He chose you, in verse 1, that by the very fact that He has this work accomplished in your life through this born-again experience, that you have an inheritance that is in heaven for you, that you are protected by the power of God so that the inheritance will be met by you one day, that you greatly rejoice in these things. In this we greatly rejoice, even though, he says, even though in these moments, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Even though you're in the trial, even though you're in the circumstance, you are rejoicing because of who God is and what He's accomplished and what He said He will accomplish in your life. And I'm just convinced more than ever as I look at my life on a day-to-day basis that every day I have a choice to make. I have a choice to either rejoice in Him or to grumble and complain about my circumstances. I want to tell you, if you're rejoicing today, there is no room for your complaining. There is no room for your grumbling. If you are rejoicing in Him today, that's where your eyes are fixed. Your eyes aren't fixed on the circumstance. It's not fixed on the season you're going through. It's fixed on who God is as your Heavenly Father. Are you walking in a rejoicing spirit today? Now, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. The crowds rose up together against them. That's Paul and that's Silas. And they are being persecuted. And so they rise up against them, and the chief magistrates, they tear their robes off them, and they proceed to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks. I want to ask you a question. What would be your attitude today? What would be your attitude today after preaching about Christ, after giving everything up to follow Him, and you go into Philippi and you reach these people for Christ, and then all of a sudden there's persecution taking place, and you get thrown in prison after being beaten with rods. And they get thrown in the deepest prison, and I want to tell you, it is in the dumpiest sewer where the sewer comes. They are locked in the deepest of dungeons, and I want to ask you, what would your attitude be? And you know, I don't know, being beaten and thrown in the filth with vermin and with all kinds of disease, in the midst of that, stocks on my feet and my hands, and I'm in there, and the scripture says in verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were rejoicing. That's what they were doing. Praising their God. Thanking God that God would allow them to suffer. Thankful for suffering. Thankful for the beating. Thankful for the moment. Why? Why would they do that? Because, folks, their minds and their hearts are not on this world. It's on the inheritance. And when your eyes are on Jesus, when your eyes are on life indeed, I don't care what's happening to us, we will find the way to rejoice. Because you see, you have a choice here. You can rejoice in the things of God and God is doing in your life through the circumstances, through the trial, or you can grumble and complain about them. And I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to grumble and complain about them, not to get up at midnight and praise God, but to praise Him and to rejoice in Him. Why? Because there is power in that. There is life in that. Matter of fact, so much power that the Scripture says in verse 26, suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. The power of God. In one moment, they are enslaved, and in the next moment, this earthquake comes and they are free to go as they want to go. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. And Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." And he called for lights, and he rushed in, and he trembled with fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I want you to notice something. This Philippian jailer saw the joy of the Lord as it corresponded to the salvation message they were singing about and maybe even preaching about. And you know what he said? "I got to have this. I beat you half to life. I put you in the deepest dungeon. And all I heard you doing at midnight was praising God. And then I saw the power of God. And I saw you stay. If you would have escaped, it would have been life with suffering. So I was just going to end it right there. But you didn't do that. I want the worship that you have. I want this relationship that you have. What must I do to be saved?" is what he asked. I want to ask you this question. What if they grumbled that night? What if they complained that night? A lot of things would have happened. But not that. I just don't think so. Because I think there's some very specific things that we get to see happen when we rejoice. As just as there are specific things that I think happens when we grumble. First of all, when you grumble, the Scripture calls that ungodly behavior. In Jude chapter 1, he speaks about the judgment of God that comes upon all the ungodly sinners who do things in an ungodly way. And the very first word he uses, he says, these folks are grumblers. Grumbling is defined as ungodly behavior. And so you might think that you're a very moral person, that you have all the ethics that would be pleasing to God. But if you're a grumbler and a complainer and you grumble about circumstances, the Scripture says you're walking in ungodly behavior, according to Jude chapter 1. When I think about this whole thought of rejoicing, I think about this grumbling, I'm not only identified as ungodly, but I'm participating in destructive behavior. Did you know that grumbling is destructive behavior? I mean, matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, the warning to the church at Corinth is, listen, you don't grumble as some of them did because they were destroyed by the destroyer. Isn't that interesting? Children of Israel walked through the wilderness grumbling and complaining, and God said, look, I'm just going to send the destroying angel and just destroy these folks because I don't want to hear this grumbling. I don't want to hear this complaining. It's destructive behavior. Just think about it in your own life. Think about it this week. Did anything constructive come from your grumblings and complainings this week? No. You were miserable and you made the person you were grumbling to miserable also. Third thing is that it hinders God's blessings. Turn to Numbers 14, verse 27, if you would. Numbers chapter 14. When you look at verse 27 through 30, you see what a group of people missed out when they disobeyed God and they grumbled and complained against Moses and Aaron. They had a great opportunity for the blessing of God to move to the next level, to go from the wilderness right into the promised land. They didn't have to wait 40 years to find the promises of God. God said, listen, there's a land flowing with milk and honey. They send out those spies, they come back and report, and they say, listen, we can't do it. There's just no way that we can experience the abundant life. There's just too many obstacles to accomplish that. And so the Scripture says they gave a bad report, and except for Joshua and Caleb, and Joshua and Caleb said, no, we need to go into this land, we need to conquer it, God has given it to us, He has said it, we're going to stand on His word that God has given this land to us. The Scripture says that they took a vote and two people were right and a million people were wrong and they went with the million people. And the Scripture says in chapter 14, verse 1, that all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried. And the people wept that night and the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, oh, would that we have died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones, they'll become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Listen, we look at that land and that land's too impossible. Yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey and God was right there, but God is not right about finding peace and life there. So we better stay here or we better go back to Egypt. We'd rather be in Egypt under bondage than to face the strongholds of the enemy to secure and to have the promised land that God promises for us. And so what we do is we try to go back to Egypt. God says you can't go back to Egypt. And so you stay in the wilderness your whole life. And you've walked in the grumblings and you've walked in the sins. Because why? Because you refused to move on with God. And you grumbled instead. And you came right up to the Jordan, to the next level, to the next glory. And you said, no, not going there. It's too much. It's too much. And I'm going to tell you, all God asks you to do is obey Him. But that day they disobey and they grumble. And God has a very specific message for them in verse 27, and I want you to notice that. They just missed the blessing of God. He says, how long will I bear with this evil congregation? The grumblers. Notice, an evil congregation who are grumbling against me. I've heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. And I want to say this. You know that every complaint and every grumble that you make really ultimately against the sovereign hand of God in your life. You're grumbling against God. He said, listen, they're grumbling against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses, they're going to fall in this wilderness. And even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb and except Joshua, the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I'm going to bring them in, and they're going to know the land which you've rejected. But as for you and your corpses, they're going to fall in this wilderness. Folks, we grumble, complain, we miss the promises of God, we walk in disobedience, and then we miss the blessing of God, the next level of glory. And I think every time that I come to a circumstance in my life, if I choose to rejoice, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to miss God's blessing, but every time I complain and grumble, I miss the moment that God wants to move in my life. And I miss the blessing because I concentrate on these circumstances that I'm going through, that I shouldn't be going through, that I don't deserve to have to go through. And yet God all along is bringing me through so that I might do one thing and one thing alone. Look up and rejoice in His name. Folks, in this we greatly rejoice. If I'm not rejoicing, then I'm doing something totally opposite. And I'm identified as ungodly. I'm participating in destructive behavior. I'm hindering God's blessing. And you know what else? I miss what really is to bring joy in my life. When I make the proper response, and the proper response to trial and to circumstance, to good things and good times, is always to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now, as I think about this whole thought of rejoicing in who we are as God's children, just doing a brief study of Scripture, you find about five things that the Scripture says brings great joy to your life. The first thing is that joy comes from hearing God's voice. The joy of the Lord comes from hearing the voice of God. Now, John the Baptist in John chapter 3, go on and turn there for just a moment, okay? John chapter 3. Now, John was a very successful evangelist. I mean, people were coming out to the wilderness. They're coming in the middle of nowhere to hear him preach. And they were repenting and they were being baptized and there was just a great success that was coming forth from his life. And you would think that that would bring the greatest joy to this messenger of God. But he negates that. He says, no, it's not that. And so John the Baptist is speaking with his disciples, and they're saying, you know, Jesus is, he's prospering right now. And his ministry is increasing, and boy, there are people who are leaving us to go and serve Christ. What do you think about that, John? And so in verse 26, it says, they came to John, and they said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he's baptizing, and all, they're coming to him. And John answered, said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given him from the heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses. I said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the one. I'm not the one to be glorified. I'm not the one to be honored. I have been sent ahead of him. Now he who has the bride is the bridegroom. And I'm not the bridegroom, he says. Christ is the bridegroom. He has the bride. He possesses you. I don't possess you. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him, what does he do? He rejoices greatly because of the, watch, the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. John the Baptist would say, with all the preaching and all the success, what brings me the greatest joy is hearing the bridegroom's voice. Hearing the voice of God. You know, it never fails for me that when I drive myself to the Word in all the distractions of my life, and I hear that Word or I hear that specific Word from God in that moment, you know, it brings great joy. I ask, do you have that kind of experience? When you're reading along and all of a sudden the Word just comes alive and speaks to your situation, speaks to your circumstances, gives you that application, and all of a sudden you just well up with this great joy. Well, I want to ask you, if it brought such great joy, why in the world do we wait another week before we seek the Word of God? And I don't know, I'm just saying, I believe that this must be a normal experience for the believer. Hearing God's Word and finding joy from hearing God's Word. Hearing a word from God. And you know, I think the biggest mess that we can find ourselves in is because of the so many distractions of this life that we kind of just push the Word aside. And we're not opening up on a daily or twice a day manner. I'm just saying, if this Word is life, I need to be living on this Word. I don't need to be complaining. I need to be running to Jesus through the Word of God to find the specific Word that God has for me in those circumstances. And although those circumstances might change, I'm rejoicing because I heard the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And they know me and I know them and they follow me. And so it's not just hearing the voice of God. It's hearing it and then doing something about it. If God has spoken into your heart and you're not doing what God has said to do, then I want to tell you, you are trampling down that wonderful word that God's given to you to pull you out of the very circumstances you've been grumbling about. So I'm going to ask the question, are you in the Word daily? And I'm not just talking about just, there I am. I'm talking about just going through books. I'm talking about going through the Psalms. I'm talking about walking through the epistles or the Gospels or an Old Testament book, and you got that Bible open in the morning or in the evening, and you are reading it and you are studying it and you are asking God to reveal to you His Word because you want to have a Word to live on and live by, because that's what brings the full joy, hearing the Word of God. If you're not in the Word on a daily basis, I want to tell you a good way to begin. You know, if it's the fifth of the month, I'll open to Psalm 5 and I'll read Psalm 5. And I'll look at it, I'll say, God, do you have a word for me in Psalm 5? Kind of call it the Psalm of the day. I tell you, it never fails. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I mean, if it's the 12th, and I open to the 12th Psalm, I'm going to tell you, God is speaking to me on the very circumstances that I'm going to. That's just how God does. Now, if you know that you're hungry for that and you're hungry for more, what I'll do is I'll try to read 5 Psalms a day. And sometimes I like to do this on the first of every month, starting the first of every month. And I'll read Psalm 1, Psalm 31, Psalm 61, Psalm 91, and Psalm 121. And I ask God, okay, God, I just want you to speak to me through. So I've read 5 Psalms. If I do that 30 days, I will have read through the whole Psalms in 30 days. And I want to tell you, you look at one page of the Bible, and number one, it's got life all over it. It's got Christ all over it. It's got the fruit of the Spirit all over it. I want to tell you, it's got the whole of God's counsel wherever you go to that Word. And folks, if you're not disciplining yourself, and I want to just tell you, I believe that that's how you walk in holiness. You discipline yourself. You move to the disciplines of the spiritual life. The discipline of Bible study. The discipline of Scripture memory. The discipline of putting that Word in your heart so you're not sinning against God. You got the Word of God in your heart. How can you grumble and how can you complain and walk in that ungodly behavior? We find joy from hearing God's Word. But you know, we also find joy not only from hearing God's Word and doing God's Word. Joy comes when we love one another. Joy comes from loving one another. And God's children love one another. Notice what it says in John 15:11 on the screen. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be made in you. He says, I'm speaking these words, I'm speaking these principles so that you might have my joy, and my joy might be in you, and that your joy may be made full. And so if I'm thinking, okay, he's getting ready to say something to me that's going to allow the joy of God to come into my life, and that joy will be made full, overflowing, and then I'm going to listen. And what is that word? And he says, this is my word, that you'll love one another just as I've loved you. Amen. You know what that means? That means you got to get your eyes off your circumstances, and you need to get your eyes on Christ, and you need to be loving your neighbor, reflecting God's glory to your neighbor who is going through the struggle and going through the circumstance. So consumed with my problem, so consumed with my trial, so consumed with my struggle that I miss the people that come across my life, that folks, if I were in their shoes, where would I be? And I miss the sensitivity of loving my neighbor as myself because I'm so consumed with my problem. And so I'm grumbling about my circumstances, or that person comes into my life and, gosh, they're just a burden and I don't want to deal with that again. And all of a sudden I'm grumbling and complaining about them. I'm not loving them. I'm not walking in patience. I'm not walking in forgiveness. I'm not walking in the peace of God. No, Scripture says that joy comes from loving one another. It's a third way from Scripture. Not only do we hear God's voice and love one another, but joy comes from answered prayer. Go to John chapter 16, if you would. Joy comes from answered prayer. God's children are heard by their Father. And that's just a wonderful thought. God the Father, who gives great gifts to His children, He hears what you're saying. James has said in James chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. And there is this joy that comes with answered prayer. Now, I know that everyone in here who has ever prayed a prayer and has seen the prayer answered can testify, yeah, I had great joy. And if you had great joy in that answered prayer, why aren't you praying more? I mean, why aren't you going to the true things that make for joy? If the Word makes me happy, I'm going to go to the Word. If loving my neighbor as myself makes me happy, I'm going to go love my neighbor. I'm going to go find somebody to love on. If I know that this joy comes from answered prayer, then I'm going to be more consistent in my prayer. John chapter 16, verse 22. Therefore, you have grief now. But I'm going to see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, He will give it to you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. Why? So that your joy may be made full. I don't know why we get this attitude of Christians of saying, I'm not going to go to God to get something, because I think I'm going to get something. You know, I don't want that to be my motive. Folks, are there not benefits from the kingdom of God? Are there not benefits? Come to Him and to ask. Now, yes, there is this blurred line of selfish motives. The Scripture says to spend it on your pleasures. If you're asking God to do something so you can go on and walk and continue in sin, then that's a selfish motive. But if it's something that benefits the kingdom of God, that benefits the body of Christ, that benefits the house of God, which we are, then I want to tell you, you ask and you keep on asking so that you might keep on receiving, so that you might keep on walking in the joy of the Lord. But if it's something that you're going to use to continue to walk in your sin and your rebellion, then that's the wrong motive. But if it's for the righteousness of God and the glory of God, I want to tell you, ask and keep on asking. Matter of fact, cry out for it. Just cry out for it. The Scripture says, when I answer your prayers, you're going to have this great joy, and this joy is going to be made full. Yes, you're seeking His face. Yes, you're seeking Him first, but you also get to seek His hand. Let's seek His face, but let's seek His hand also. Because you know what? There is not one good thing that He will withhold from us. He's the good Father who knows how to give good gifts to His children. Ask and keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Keep knocking. Just make that the consistent part of your life where you are walking in Bible study and you're walking in prayer. And you may be here today and you say, you know what, I want to do that, but I don't know how to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to make you a promise. Say you're not in the Bible right now and you don't even know how, if you can study the Bible right now, you don't know how. Or you don't have the slightest idea of how to start a prayer life. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to pick up your phone and call 445-2929. That's the church number. And you ask for Mike Fritcher. You ask for me. And I'll set up an appointment with you, and I'll spend 30 minutes with you, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever you need to get you on. I will do that. I am so convinced. And folks, if there's a whole lot of you needing that, it might not be this week. It might be next week. I hope it would be. But I want to tell you, there's nothing like these disciplines that you get up in the morning or you before you go to bed, where you're studying and where you're praying and you're seeing answers to prayer. Folks, how many of you are an answer to prayer? Raise your hands, huh? You're an answer to prayer. You're sitting here as a living testimony that God answers prayer. And I want to tell you, when that person prayed for you or for your healing or for that provision, they rejoiced and they had a great fullness of joy. I want to tell you, God wants to see us And I believe as the body of Christ, see answers to prayers daily. Daily. To bring this great joy into our lives. Joy comes from answered prayer. You're praying. Joy comes from the fellowship of the body. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that what? Our joy may be complete. He says, our joy is only completed when you are fellowshipping with us. And your joy will only be completed when you are fellowshipping. And I would say when you have fellowship with God and with one another, that's when you're complete. And I'm going to make a statement here is that the reason why a lot of Christians are so unhappy in their life is because they're not fellowshipping with the body of Christ. We need one another. And if you're not connected to the body of Christ in some way, if you're not connected to a group of people in your life that you know you can come to, that you're growing with, that you're encouraging, that you're exercising the spiritual gifts with, of encouragement and exhortation and giving and serving and helps and all those things, and I tell you, you're missing out on the joy of the Lord. And I want to ask you, are you connected? That's where full joy comes. It comes from the connection with the body. And just the application of that this morning is, hey, connect with the body. Because joy comes from fellowship with the body of Christ. Joy also comes from being led by the Lord. See, if I'm being led by the Lord, the Scripture speaks of this great joy. Psalm 43:3-4, it's on the screen again. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre or any instrument, I'm going to praise you, O God, my God. There is this leadership of the Spirit of God that brings a certain joy in our lives. How many of you, when you were led by God and everything just fell right into place, confirmation after confirmation, let me ask you, did it bring joy? It brought joy. You're led by the Spirit. Let me ask you, are you joyful today? Is there a joy that's coming forth from your life? Folks, you can go from this place grumbling and complaining or choosing to rejoice. I don't know about you, but grumbling and complaining never brought me anything of worth. Nothing. And I tell you, we need to be a people of joy. We greatly rejoice that we are chosen, that we are children of God, that we are heirs with a great inheritance. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Every circumstance that you come to this week, you're going to come to a fork in the road. And on one side will be, I'll grumble and complain about this, or I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. In the midst of that, you will have prepared yourself for that fork in the road and that circumstances if you've been in the Word, if you've prayed, if you've been in fellowship, if you've obeyed the initial promptings of God to be led by Him, you're going to be ready. You'll be ready for any circumstance. And when you get to that fork in the road, because you've been in fellowship, because you've been in the Word, and because you are praying and you're seeing answered prayer, I just don't think there'll be any way that you'll ever grumble about the circumstance. I think you'll be victorious. Go from this place, driving yourself to the Word and to prayer. Get connected with the body of Christ. If you're not connected with other believers, then folks, how in the world can you ever grow in Christ? We need you. You need us. Connect. Find the joy of the Lord. Some of you here today might not even know what I've been talking about today because you've never heard the voice of God that said, come, follow me. And maybe God is saying today, hey, I want you in my family. I'm causing you to be born again, even in this moment. You've never received Christ. You never turned your life over to Him. And today might be that day of finding life. I'm inviting you to come in this moment.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929. Or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.